We, as physicians, learn so many things that trap us in our own minds. And one of them is that there is a right answer, right? So we wait for clarity. We wait for it to be completely obvious that this is going to turn out great. And you're not going to get that, right? So I think that the first step is to be honest with yourself about how you feel. I think we get taught to bury our feelings and stresses and anxiety, but the reality is that anxiety that you feel is a voice that's telling you something, right? It's not just the Sunday scaries that everybody gets. It's like actually telling you something. So pay attention to that. That stuff guides you away from things that are not your purpose.
You're listening to the Melanin and Medicine Podcast, where we help Black women in medicine to successfully create, build, and grow their own mission-driven companies that change the world. I'm your host, Dr. Molara Thomas Remedino, pediatrician, wife, mom of two, advocate, former professor, and a proud introvert with a mild Twitter addiction. After losing the ability to walk and being diagnosed with an autoimmune brain disorder in 2019, I decided to finally stop normalizing my life of struggle and self-sacrifice and start living in my purpose. In less than 2 years, I've founded and grown two social impact businesses to the multi-six-figure mark, and I'm on a mission to help more Black women use entrepreneurship as a tool to help us live braver and bolder lives that create life, legacy, impact, freedom, and ease. On this podcast, my guests and I will share our unique stories and lessons learned as we continue to scale our companies and live life on our own terms. We hope you get inspired, get a plan, and get to work. Welcome to the sisterhood.
Hello, Mavens. It's Dr. O. I hope you all are well. I have such a treat for you. This was such a good conversation. So yes, I am not flying solo today. And the reason that I'm not is that I'm hoping that this will be really inspirational for you. As you know, our mission here, of course, is to really move you forward in not just building and growing your social enterprises, but also getting funding for them and stop, you know, limiting the fact that they can actually be funded really well and make the impact that we want. As a part of that, though, I think that's really important is almost shifting ourselves to be ready to be able to sit in a space that I'm ready to get funded. I know that I am doing work that is amazing and should be everywhere, right? And so sitting in that space requires us to pivot from, you know, this is the way that I've been able to make impact to this is the way that I was born to make impact. And I'm super excited to introduce to you Dr. Muyiba Adelani. She is an orthopedic surgeon who's been in practice for over 7 years. And she's mostly been involved in medical and resident education, aside from her clinical work through coaching. But one of the things that's really interesting is she's a polymath and has a huge interest and love for interior design and photography. But the way that we connected was when I found out that she was just tired. She was sick and tired of being sick and tired and decided to leave and step away from her job so that she could have the space to think bigger, think broader, think bolder. And I think that many of us in business, a lot of times we start out with an idea because we think it's the business that we can do and not the business that we actually were born or that we want to do. And that's, of course, where funding comes in, where you're able to actually get the money that you need to truly implement the vision. But you need to be in that space. And so I wanted to bring her here to talk to you all about how she's moved into that space to be much more bolder in what she knows she deserves and much more bolder in the actions that she takes to get there. So this is extremely important. And so we're going to just chat about things like really, you know, not the pivot happy ending, but the tough part of getting started, whether that be even if you have a business, it's not just about getting started in the business, but if you have it, getting started up leveling and moving into a space where, yes, I am going to get at least $500,000 of funding in 2022. how do you move your business to that space, right? Because that's the place that I love. So I'm super excited for you to hear a little bit about her. What's the scariest part of making that shift? Identifying the change that was necessary and then actually doing it. And this is going to be good. She is so inspirational. So let's get to the episode. And before you do, make sure if you have not signed up for our workshop bundle, Funding Your Healthcare Vision, our workshop bundle, please go to bit.ly/melaninmedicineco. Go get the bundle, fix your life, get ready to start building a business that is going to make true impact, a social impact enterprise that really can make the changes in healthcare that you want. And I really know you'll be blessed by it. So make sure you go there and get the bundle so that you can really just make 2022 just extraordinary. Now, let's get to the episode. Hello, ma'am.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
It's so awesome because usually she's here on the other side, like watching. And I appreciate that so much. Like, I truly appreciate your support. And so I'm super excited to be able to use the platform to get more people to know about the fascinating stuff that you're doing and also your story. So super excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So first and foremost, can you please introduce yourself? Because today we're going to be talking about how to rebuild into our physician 2.0. And I like to say that's a more powerful, profitable physician, someone who's able to have even more impact than we have as physicians in general. So introduce yourself, please, and let everyone know who you are.
Sure. So I am Liba Adelani. I'm an orthopedic surgeon here in St. Louis. I've been in practice for 7 years now, a little bit more than 7 years. And 3 months ago, I just decided to stop.
See, she just dropped it on you guys. And what? Put the questions in. So, okay. Well, since you just went straight there, let's
go there.
So ultimately, as you know, that is not a topic that is far from our conversations.
Right.
Can you talk about like what that looked like for you? Like what really moved the needle to say, okay, it's time for me to explore something different, particularly after like the decade or more? Like I'm a pediatrician, you're an orthopedic surgeon. So there's a lot more years on top of that. And so I'm just trying to think about what, you know, what is the straw that broke the camel's back to say, you know what, I'm moving, I'm shifting.
So for me, I was really just in a place where I realized that my values didn't align with the place where I was. You know, we all kind of get that, a little bit of an itch, a little bit of a nudge, if you will, like, this isn't really that cool. What are we doing, right? And for me, those whispers just got louder and louder and louder and really just made it difficult to go to work, made interpersonal relationships at work difficult, and made me really question what I was doing. And at the time, I thought, you know, like, I got to have a plan. I got to have something to pivot into, right? So I got to wait this out and keep getting a paycheck until I got the next rock to leap on. But then I realized this isn't productive, right? If I know that where I'm going isn't this, I'm just being counterproductive.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted, like, can you just say that one more time? Like,
Sure. If where I'm going isn't here, then what I'm doing is counterproductive. And it becomes counterproductive when you realize that, right? Like a lot of us think, oh, I've been wasting all this time and I'm going to waste more time if I quit. No, you waste time the moment you realize that what you're doing is not your purpose. Yeah. So when I realized that, I said, man, what's everybody going to think? I don't know what I'm doing. Can I really just quit? And the answer to that is, quite frankly, yes, right? Like, to become who you want to be, you have to ditch what you're not. And I realized where I was a very, very unhealthy place to come up with new ideas. You always say this, right? My best ideas come when I'm free, when I'm relaxed. And where I was in a state of survival, right? I'm going to work trying to make it through the meeting, make it through the case, make it through the next day or the day, I mean. And you really, like, if you're honest with yourself, you really can't be productive like that. You're really not doing your best work. But I also knew that I was in no state to make a decision about purpose. I wanted to, I wish that I could, but I had to be honest with myself and say, I got to stop what I'm doing, reframe, reassess before I can move forward.
Yeah, I think that space time, it came up actually last week in our Maven talk where Dr. Marissa talked about, was like, what's the one thing you wish like you had realized sooner? And she was like, that I just needed space and time to really get clear on what it was I want. Because first and foremost, I think like your story is so powerful because it says that you do have control. Like it takes it back, right? And I think a lot of us do get in a state of learned helplessness, Pavlov dogs, everyone remember that? Mm-hmm. Like where, you know, no longer were you being shocked, but you never moved because you were like, I've just dealt with it too much. So let me just stay here. And even suffering in here is better than, you know, the rejection or the continued like arrows being thrown at me. And I really think, you know, what I'm really loving is the fact that more of us are starting to own that shift before a mental or physical health breakdown.
Yes.
For me, it was a physical health breakdown. For many of the other women I've interviewed, it's been mental health too. And I think the onus is for us to recognize that it shouldn't have to get to that point. And I really like the idea of you starting to say to yourself that, if this is not the thing I'm supposed to be doing, then everything that I'm doing right now is either pulling me away from what I'm supposed to be doing and taking that attention away.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a little bit about, were there any challenges in terms of like moving from, okay, putting in the resignation letter, like what were the thoughts, mindset issues, or even just tangible issues that came up? And then we're going to talk about entrepreneurship.
Sure. So just to be clear, like this wasn't, I wish I could say I woke up and I was like, yo, I'm out, right? Like that definitely was not the case. This took years for me to come to this, to go beyond the recognition that this was a problem to actually doing something. And it really came from the fact that I realized like my efforts weren't changing anything, right? Nothing is going to change. So my choices are to accept the situation as it is and all the downsides that I already know versus going out and trying something new. I mean, everybody I think has to reach a somewhat of a breaking point before they're willing to make a major life change. And that breaking point is when the risk of staying becomes greater than the risk of the unknown. And I reached the point where anything or nothing is better than my current state.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about the fact that a lot of that tension is due to the fact that there are things inside of us that are, if they're not growing, they're dying. That's just like point blank. Like, and that we have a lot that we're cultivating, a lot of genius that we're sitting on. When I was posting about today, I was like, dear physician genius, like you are like sitting on a gold mine. And are you choosing to actually like uncover it? Or are you choosing to be like, no, you know, well, it's comfortable here. And so I want to talk about the gifts that once you had the space, or even before you had the space, the gifts that you started to uncover, what was that process and saying, you know, maybe I should move into creating the space since I don't fit in here, since I'm not in this moment, let me move to creating the space that I fit in. So can you talk a little about your journey through that?
Yeah. So the first step was I had to finalize the divorce. And the divorce is not the actual job, but the idea that you need to have one, right? The idea that you have to be part of an institution to be validated. And I think the mental work that goes with that was a lot harder than I expected, right? Like I kind of was like, you know, like everybody does when they leave a job, I don't need them. Like I'll be all right. But the reality is it wasn't about them so much as it was about the idea of having solid ground. So I intentionally left and did not pick another job or another path of any sort because I wanted to sit in the wait. I really wanted to get comfortable in that wait and the uncomfortableness of having no solid ground and to realize that you're going to be okay, right? Like, we're physicians. I'm a surgeon. I'll be all right. Worst comes to worst, I'll either get a job or I'll sell my house, but like, I'll be okay. But this mental work is imperative in order to move to the next step. So for me, that was the first step.
Yeah. And you mentioned mindset, because I feel like we're so used to doing that, mm-hmm. that being piece always gets ignored, and it like literally stunts us. It may not stunt you at the beginning. You may be like, oh, I'm okay. But at some point it will hit, and then you'll be like, wait, why can't I move forward? And it's because you haven't, like you said, I think it's unlinking. Too often we are defining ourselves as, and even in the way that we approach it, right? I'm Dr. Omolara. Like, mm-hmm. I'm Omolara. Like, before any of this happened, I was a human being. And I like to say medicine, like, squeezes. It like, it's like, not that either. And it's literally, unless you're proactive about it, you can end up in a space where I know I was, and I was like, okay, I'm not working as a doctor right now. What am I? Who am I?
Yes.
Right. And then that's the space where now in this waiting, you start to uncover who that is. So what did you uncover, Madame?
I uncovered a lot of things. First was that this was going to be a real test of my faith. Right? Because you can look at the journey objectively and say, okay, I need to do some mindset work. I need to take some time to think, read some books, right? But the reality is, it's a real roller coaster, right? Personal growth is not linear. There's ups and there's downs. And through that, you really need to have something that grounds you and keep that grounding as you start those new ventures. So that's one thing I uncovered. Then the other things are, okay, where do I get joy, right? Not about like what's going to pay me well, what's going to look cool, right? What's going to seem, because I admit that there was a point where I was like, I'm leaving this job and I need to like hit it out of the park. Like, and we all want to do that, right? I want to show them what they were missing. I want to be that person. And I realized like, but does that really give me joy? Why do I want that? Right. So I really started to question myself more. I think that's something that we're not used to doing, is we say something and then we just set a goal and then we just do it. But you really got to have that gut check of why am I doing this, and really trying to pay attention to what brings me joy. So one of the things that I found that brings me a lot of joy is talking to other people, sharing stories, sharing perspective. So during my time off, I was able to finish physician coaching with a group called Surgeon Masters. That was a real unlocking of something that I didn't know was there, right? This ability to connect with other people's stories, but also an opportunity to use my story to help other people, right? Like, the waste would have been, I went through this whole thing just to basically hide it, throw it away, never deal with it. I'm instead going to try to use this as power, use this in an affirmative way. So that's been one of the joys that I've uncovered. And then trying to refocus on businesses that I already had. So I've always been a real estate investor. I actually started investing in real estate as a resident. So I decided, you know, I'm going to intentionally take off things that don't serve me. My job was one of those. There were other things, right? Like, I'm going to take that away. I'm going to add things that I want to continue and things that are going to help me grow. So I've put more energy into trying to develop strategy for my investing, also working on projects that I already have. So I have a flip property that we're working on right now that has given me the blues. At another rental property, and just trying to like put positive energy into places that are going to give me return. I've also tried to focus on my personal health, because when you don't feel good, you just don't perform well, whether that's physical or mental. Just like when I was in that space before, you know, we as physicians really believe that my presence is the gift. And as long as I show up, everybody's getting the goodness. But the truth is, the goodness comes from you being in an environment that facilitates that. And a lot of us choose to build our own tables in order to facilitate that genius that you're talking about, right? But also just feeling healthy, feeling good. So I spent a lot of time trying to get back in shape and work on exercise, both for physical reasons and for mental reasons. I feel like exercise is the healthiest way to manufacture self-doubt, right? Self-doubt is the killer of all dreams. And why not practice against yourself every day just working out, right? Like, because self-doubt will show up in a workout in a minute.
All right, I'm unclipping now. Thank you. Oh my God. I think, you know, a few things that I think are really important for people to really hone in on. First, the idea that, oh my gosh, we are so apt to create, but we can't create unless we eliminate first, unless we start to think about what it is. And I love the idea of being able to streamline and say to yourself, what is not serving me? Because there's a money mindset coach, Denise Duffield Thomas. I love money mindset work. Like, oh my God, I love it so much. And I think one of the things that she talks about is how we are so cluttered and it doesn't allow for anything to come in, right? So it really like, and it's like, you know, you're adding and we're so used to, well, I'm able to do it. And at least I could stand. I wasn't, you know, I was struggling, but I could do it. I could hold everything. And it almost becomes that badge of honor and almost becomes that like sign where it's like, I have to be at this in order for me to see myself as excellent. And I love the idea of you uncloaking. And I think the personal health piece is particularly important because what I found is like, even in growing two businesses that I adore and love, my personal health can like, because it's even worse sometimes because you love that work so much, you will sit there and be like, okay, let me, oh, wait, what? I didn't eat? Oh, wait a second. What happened? Right. Like all of those things happen. And so my question to you is, right now, you know, you do coaching and design. You didn't talk about design.
I didn't talk about that. Yeah, that came about a little bit after the real estate investing. Because I, you know, again, kind of sat with myself and like, why do I like the real estate piece? And it's because I like the finished product. It's the same reason why I like orthopedic surgery, right? I like making things pretty. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's been a little passion project of mine as well.
Yes. And I, you know, I'm always here for like thinking about how do we make something so passionate, right, that you love? And how do we get to be able to spend the most time in that work? And that either happens through doing that work or creating other spaces to build the income so you have an ability to really be able to focus on that. And I really appreciate kind of the diversity that you're creating for yourself. And it seems like it's all kind of at this vetting process of, am I feeling good? Like, meaning my time is the most important asset. So is this taking too much of my time? And it feels like there's kind of that judgment that you have around like certain things when they come your way. Is that true in a way?
There's definitely a vetting process. And I think that vetting process centers around the what and the how, right? So like, what is the work that I'm trying to do? And what is the intended impact of that work? And then after you define what that is and make sure it aligns to your core values, then you have to figure out the how, right? Meaning, do I need to build my table? Can I partner with other people and build a table together? What do I want? Do I want freedom or do I want flexibility? Because those are different things. And as we both know, entrepreneurship comes with a lot of heartache and pain and middle of the night sweats.
So yes, like, it does. Okay.
And I have a lot of interests, right? And I don't necessarily want to give them up. So the question becomes, which one of these things needs to be a full-on business? Which one of these things can I find an environment that provides me the flexibility to do what I want, but not all of the overhead, right? Because that's the key. I think ultimately we all want at a minimum flexibility because as Black women in medicine, authenticity is one of our biggest struggles, right? We want that. But trying to define the structure that facilitates that, but is also realistic and balances everything else that we have going on is key.
This is so interesting because like I now have this really amazing job where I get to listen to people's ideas and then like help them to hopefully become real, right? Mm-hmm. And it's been super exciting, but also super telling because one of the things that we do as ambitious Black women is we let scale make us stagnant. And mm-hmm. what I mean by that is like, we have like, this is what it's going to look like, right? This whole big thing. And we forget that Amazon started as a bookstore. And so it's about, like you said, thinking about, I often say this inside of the incubator, I say, thinking about what's the minimum, what's the smallest transformation that you can create in the vision that you have? What's the smallest piece? The piece that would be like point number one, if there was nothing else. And let's hone in on that, because what we're not going to do is go from a job that overworks you and underpays you to going to creating your own job that overworks you and underpays you.
Exactly.
And will kill you. We don't want, but that's not the journey that we're on. And so starting to think like that, and I was just on a conversation with a woman who's really interested in creating this nonprofit, and like it's this, you know, going to be like a neonatology unit and everything. And I was like, okay, that's great. What can we do right now that you think would make at least a transformational impact? And she was like, oh, I never thought of it like that. And I was like, yeah, because one, we need to make sure that we have momentum and we need to make sure that we have flexibility, like you said, and we need to make sure that that realism allows for us not to stop in our tracks because the ideas that we have are amazing. Right. But then we kind of get lost in our ambition and then we're like, nah, I can't do this. And one of the things I like to say is that Strong Children Wellness, which was the first business that we started, because of the self-doubt, we actually brought that business to my institution and we're like, can you guys do this? Because we can't do this, of course. Like, this is not possible. And they just looked at us like, this is crazy. And we were like, oh no, it's not going to happen. Like, we didn't even comprehend that maybe the three Black women who are sitting here who conceived of the idea may be able to make it possible if we like get our hands dirty. Would you talk a little bit about, you know, right now, I think this is a beautiful space that you're in. And I've been excited to kind of just like be able to communicate with you offline. And what do you think is the way for a lot of the Black women physicians who watch us are in a space where they're like considering or trying to think, should I, shouldn't I? Like, what do you think are like three best practices or three things that you think are really essential for people who are in that space of like, I'm not sure, but
I think that, you know, we as physicians learn so many things that trap us in our own minds. And one of them is that there is a right answer, right? So we wait for clarity. We wait for it to be completely obvious that this is going to turn out great. And you're not going to get that, right? So I think that the first step is to be honest with yourself about how you feel. I think we get taught to bury our feelings and stresses and anxiety, but the reality is that anxiety that you feel is a voice that's telling you something, right? It's not just the Sunday scaries that everybody gets. It's like actually telling you something. So pay attention to that. That stuff guides you away from things that are not your purpose.
All right, real talk. So everyone's told you how lucky you are. You overcame all the obstacles as a Black woman to become a doctor. You're excellent at your craft. You built a great reputation for yourself in your career. And your family and friends always tell you about how proud you must be at what you've accomplished. But right now, no matter how much you try to ignore it, you know there's something missing. You know you are meant for more. Let me know if this is familiar. Right now, you're an amazing doctor, but you feel drained in your work or aren't sure how long you can continue. You've achieved so much, but somehow you still feel unfulfilled. Or you're unable to do the things you love because you're consumed by your work, most of which you aren't that passionate about anymore. And sometimes you even lay awake thinking about your great idea, but then dismiss it as unrealistic. But imagine if you could do the work that you love that invigorates you instead of drains you. Create work where you finally have some flexibility on how you spend your time and have the space to do the things you enjoy. You could stop dreading the work week, and you could create the impact that you want without being put in a box. And what if you could make income that surpasses your salary and doesn't require you proving to someone that you're worth it? You know you need to do this, but you keep telling yourself, entrepreneurship is too risky and you're not cut out for it. You have so many other things to do, or you know what you want, but you don't have the clear plan and don't have time to put together a strategy. And you definitely don't have the support system or the people you need to help guide you in this journey. And you might have to learn new skills and new information, and just is going to be too much. Well, I think that you're settling for good enough, and it's time to transform your purpose into a profitable business and create the impact, the income, and freedom you were meant to make. So I want you to check out our Purpose to Profit Incubator, the only business incubator specifically for Black women doctors that provides integrated coaching, classes, combined with a safe community of aspiring Black women doctor entrepreneurs. And in 12 weeks, we help Black women doctors take their idea to income and build the foundation for a profitable and scalable business. This is not too good to be true. It exists. And I want you to apply so that we can figure out how you can turn your purpose to profit. Make sure you check out the link at bit.ly/purpose2profit apply. That's bit.ly/purpose2profit apply. I look forward to looking at your application and seeing how we can support you in building your table. In the words of June Jordan, like a lot of Black women, we've always had to invent the power our freedom requires. Talk soon.
The second thing is to stop what isn't you. Everything is possible. We can do anything, but it's not all for us. Sometimes it's perfectly fine to leave that stuff to other people and say that this isn't me, whether that is a task, a committee, a job, a career, whatever it is. If it's not you, then just stop. The third thing about clarity is that it really comes from engagement. We all think, like, you know, like you said, we need the space. And everybody thinks that that means that I'm at home meditating until the answer comes, right?
But you're not, you know, that's not what's
happening. I mean, I do it, but like, that's not where it comes from, right? Clarity comes from engagement, engaging with other people, engaging with other situations to see how that feels to you, right? Like, a lot of the time I spent was trying things, thinking about things, reading books, talking to people, seeing what gets my juices flowing, what gives me joy, or conversely, what dreads me, right? Like, if I talk to someone about a job or about what they're doing, and I'm like, that sounds miserable or makes my stomach hurt, that's not for me, right? So we really do have to, once we kind of clear our plates, engage and figure out tangibly what is for us.
Yeah, I think clarity definitely comes with action. And I think that one of the things that has been a really important moment, you know, I've invested a lot in coaching. I realized, like, I tried like a month of entrepreneurship without a coach, and it just was not good. So I'm not that person, like, who can do things. And I realize now why it is. I realize the community and the convening of people, and even like inside of the communities that I am blessed to run, it's the idea of being able to be uplifted by others' stories, to not feel like you have to make your own mistakes to learn, but you can learn from the lessons of others.
Yes.
To feel a certain amount of, not gravitas, but like bravery as you see bravery happening. So it's like, ooh, okay, well, she did, okay, all right, let me try that. Mm-hmm. And being able to have the coaching and the community, just being able to be one in a place where you can feel seen and visible. I think as Black women physicians, a lot of times it's very difficult. Like, even in a lot of the coaching communities that I've been in, you know, a lot of people still, like, my name is Omolara Wimedimo. Someone finds out I'm a doctor. Dr. Omolara, welcome to the coach. And I'm like, please, I'm just trying to learn how to build this business. Can you please just, like, you know, this has nothing to do with medicine. Can we, like, not? But it also puts this kind of pressure on you that medicine, a lot of times, and the DR, the infamous DR, kind of, like, makes you have to sit in. And I think being able to have spaces where you can be vulnerable, and I often talk about who are the accountability partners in your life that are going to just be real with you and are not going to be the yes people and are going to give it to you straight and say, you have control over this. And I think a lot of us need to start moving into the space that if we are in a situation, particularly those of us who have a level of power and privilege that being a physician allows us to have, we can't give what we don't have. That's what Brené Brown talked about. And that always hit me in her parenting book. And I always think about, without the bravery and all of that stuff that, like, I've been cultivating through, and courage I've been cultivating through entrepreneurship, those were things I couldn't give. Those were things that I couldn't give my patients. Those were things I couldn't give the world or give my community. And I think in a space where we start to become bolder and more true to ourselves, the reach that we have as physicians, as people of, as leadership in our communities, it allows for the people around us to become bolder. I often share little moments with my kids, and I just think about, I'm like, oh my God, these kids are unemployable now. Like, they are just so, I'm like, oh God, I hope they make it, because nobody's going to hire these kids. Like, they are, this is what I want to do. This is how it's going to, like, and I think that's the big thing that I'm hoping, like, we start to set off a generation of people that we didn't become or that we're trying to become now. And imagine what that would like, Weeva, if you were seven and you had that kind of, like, clarity and, like, space that was emboldening you. And imagine what that would do in medicine, like, if you came into medicine like
that. I mean, like, think about all the things that we learned that we had to unlearn, right? And I think one of those things that starts when we're really young is that bravery is the opposite of fear. And that's actually not true at all, right? It just means that you do it scared. A lot of people, you know, when I made my decision, oh, I wish I was brave enough to do what you're doing. I'm like, brave is fine, but it does not mean that I'm not scared, right? Like, we all have fear. That is normal. It is about managing fear. And I think that if we teach people that when they are young, that will preserve some of the individuality you're talking about, because medicine comes real quick, conform, right? And conform now, or you won't make it to the next rotation.
Oh, exactly. It's like, look, okay, do you want to graduate or not?
Right. And it really stifles you. And it also makes you think that you don't have other skills and that your skills from medicine are not transferable. You were talking about scale earlier, and I was thinking about that as if it's surgery, right? Like, when I think about a case, I think about how I want it to turn out, but I also think about, okay, what are the building blocks to that outcome? And that's what scale is, right? We all see this big, beautiful picture, but what are the steps that we can build upon to help us get to where we want to be at the end?
So tell me a little bit about what you think are, like, next steps for you. I think one of the things I like to talk about is I like to talk to women and support women at both levels, like those who are building, but also those who are growing. I know for me, I'm in a space where I'm, like, hiring like crazy. I am, like, trying to figure out, like, what the systems are to make things expand and to widen my reach, because I'm just really committed to this vision that I have and trying to think about how do we make things even more streamlined for the clients that we serve. That's where I am in my entrepreneurship journey. I want to learn more about where you are in your journey at this point, and also kind of what you're hoping to achieve, like, you know, before the end of the year.
Yeah. So I think the key thing about, well, there's two key things about the journey, right? The first is I had to realize that life is one journey, right? Like, we like to talk about you know, my entrepreneurial journey, my journey in medicine, my health journey. But like, for me, I needed to link those all back together, right? What at the end of the day do I want to accomplish? What is the impact I intend to accomplish? And that is to empower other people. So, okay, now everything that I consider, everything that I keep has to be towards that end. So really being firm about what my core values are, what my core skill set is, and how I can use that in the world or how I want to use that in the world, I've really had to be quite constructive and intentional about that. And then the other is just making some flat out decisions. And one of them is, I'm not going to do things I don't want to do. That sounds incredibly arrogant. But what I mean by that is, this is what I believe in. These are what my values are. My values are authenticity. I value peace. I value innovation. All these things that I value honesty, right, are non-negotiables, right? Like when you're in medicine, especially the bigger the institution, we start to negotiate on those things. And not being firm on that is what gets us into trouble. So I define that and says, okay, everything I'm doing now goes into that framework.
And it's going to require courage. Courage is boundaries. It's going to require courageous conversations.
Boundaries.
That often the courage of our goal, that if I'm in a space where I've achieved the vision, I'm not sure, like, you know, and you're still in the space of lack of fulfillment, it really pushes you to be more courageous around your goal. And to say that, you know, maybe that, I like to say, we're not down with OPP, the other people's priorities. No, we're not down with OPP. We're not down with OPP.
The reality, though, about boundaries is real, right? And what got me to that place is having no job, quite frankly. Because when you don't have a job, it forces you to be okay with not having a job for a while. And once you're okay with not having a job for a while, you don't need anybody. Right? Like, so for me, these are my boundaries. And if this can't work in this space, I'll go back to where I was not having a job until I have my next opportunity, right? Like, it's totally fine. We get addicted to security by having these jobs, despite the fact that it may be suffocating our creativity. But we really have to hone in on that creativity and create boundaries around it. And preserve it at all costs, because that's really all that we have, right? That's what our value is.
Mm. So everyone, I think a few things that are really important is, right now, I'd love for people to do a check around, do I know what my strengths are? Have I even thought to think about my talents and my gifts? Do I know what my values are? Do I know the top five? Maybe I ran them down. Have I even made space to just figure out what those are? And the third thing is specifically, do I know what it is, not just that are gifts and talents, but what it is that I love? And I think I'm just taking pieces. What are the things that bring me joy in particular? And when we get to that Venn diagram, we start to get to a space that sometimes we call ridiculous or we call uncomfortable, but it's actually like the space that a lot of our vision kind of like sits in. If it's aligned, it's the space where that would be where we would love to be if we actually could believe that it can happen. And I think it's going to be really important for those who are watching. And then also for myself, I think the space of visioning is so powerful, and seeing it and believing that it can happen. Like, you know, I don't even want to say the things I see, but it's like, we have this nonprofit where we're going to help little black girls, like early, like my kids' age, like learn how to build businesses from a young age and learn those skills and outside of medicine. And I think it's really important for us to see it and just like start to visualize and take that time. And so I want you to think about, if you haven't visioned, what would that look like? And so I'm going to pose to you, Muiba, in 15 years, my legacy will be?
My legacy will be that I empowered other people to be their best self.
Can you share kind of what are the ways that people either can work with you or connect with you or learn more about you or whatever they want to do? Because I'm sure people are like, What is her handle? How do I find her?
Yeah, so you can reach out to me via Instagram on this handle, Dr. Adelani Speaks, probably the most direct way right now. And I'd be happy to talk to anybody.
Awesome. I also want to just, first of all, thank you. I think Dr. Muiba has been a really great version or example of like seeing someone like really support and just really like connect and be, and we had a conversation through LinkedIn. And then since then, she's just been a supporter and just very, it's been very beautiful. And I just like really want to say like out loud, like that I truly appreciate your presence. It's those kind of things that actually say, okay, all right, what I'm saying, I don't know if I should be saying this or whatever, but I'm going to say it and then like turn off my phone. And I really do think that those are the ways that we continue to thrive. And so if anything, social media has been a connector. I hope that we don't use it as comparison, right? I hope we don't compare where your journey is to somebody else, because that steals our creativity, which is probably the greatest gift that we all have. And lastly, I want to make sure that everyone knows that if they are sitting on an idea, it deserves to be thought about. It deserves the light of day to like think through it, refine it, but do not sit on that thing. Do not say, this is too ridiculous. Do not use people pleasing as an excuse that I can't give birth to something that I created from my mind. So I want to say thank you to you for your time and for your energy all the time. So I thank you for that. Any last things that you want to say to the people? Any last words of wisdom?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, thank you for creating a community like this where we can come in and be honest and vulnerable. I think that's the thing that's missing in medicine really is that a lot of people feel like this. A lot of people don't want to talk about it. And having this is a way for me to connect to other people's vulnerability, right? Like, and just being able to share our stories. And for me, specifically, being able to share my journey in the moment. Because I love coming on and listening to the pivot stories, because there's always a happy ending. But that's not what scares people, right? People intuitively know there will be a happy ending, but what they're afraid of is, what does that journey look like? How low does it get, right? And just to be able to share that in the moment before I reach that happy ending, that pot of gold at the end, hopefully will resonate with someone.